And good evening, sports fans. Welcome into the Friday edition of Sports Talk. I am Tim Dittman, filling in for Scott Beatty, who is on the road with Fighting Illini baseball this weekend. I'll get you up to date on all those schedule changes if you missed them, as well as all the other headlines in the day of sports. We'll hear from Lou Henson a little bit later in the program, inducted today into the Illinois Senior Hall of Fame, and our Michael Kaiser got a chance to catch up with the Illini legend. That's what, Matt Daniels, at least three Halls of Fame for him that we know of?
Yeah, it seems like that way, and any Hall of Fame is a great Hall of Fame if you have Lou Henson in it based on his track record and what he's done on and off the basketball court, so another great honor for the Illinois icon today.
That's Matt Daniels with the News Gazette sports section. Sports editor Bob Osmussen from the News Gazette will also join us as well. You can reach us on the phone, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. We're streaming at WDWS.com. That's also where you can find a podcast of the program later this evening. Blake Landa is our producer behind the scenes. Also hit us up on Twitter at WDWS1400. I was just thinking a few minutes ago before we went on the air, it's a busy time of year for sports, but you wouldn't know it because everyone loves to talk about Illinois basketball. Illinois basketball is not doing incredibly well at the moment.
Yeah,
but we've got state wrestling. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple local girls teams going to super sectionals. We got the Olympics going on.
Oh, yeah.
Illini baseball and softball. It's a busy time for you and me.
You're the busiest man in Champaign-Urbana radio.
I don't know about
today,
that.
Tim. You just did the news hour and newscast, I should say, before Sports Talk, and now here you are again. But yeah, there's a lot going on, especially on the high school sports scene. And State Farm Center will be rocking tonight with the high school wrestling state meet going on. The semifinals start at 7 p.m. over there. And I know Colin Likas, our preps coordinator, is basically spent the last 24 hours or so inside State Farm Center. I know he went home last night and slept in his own bed.
Kind of like a fortnight.
Exactly.
You have to pack an overnight bag if you go to one of those.
Yeah, he was there yesterday. The prelim started with 1A and 2A, and that's all we have in our coverage area is Class 1A and 2A wrestlers this postseason. But there's 3A action going on as well. And it's a busy time over there. He'll be there tonight and again tomorrow night as we have 14 area high school wrestlers who are into the semifinals tonight, and we're gonna have at least one area wrestler, probably most likely a lot more, wrestle for state titles on Saturday night in the 220 pound weight class in Class 2A. Urbana's Luke Luffman, defending state champ, won a state title last year at 220 as a sophomore for Urbana, and then actually committed to the Illinois wrestling program early this school year. Dealt with some injuries at the start of the season, really didn't get into full swing until the Twin City meet in early January, but he hasn't lost since he's been back wrestling. And he'll take on Ben Stahl from Muhammad Seymour tonight at 220 in a highly anticipated match, at least on our area scene. So we'll have at least one, like I said, most likely more. Last year, I think we had 8 area wrestlers into the title matches. And I got a chance to possibly replicate that, if not surpass it, this year.
Very cool. Colin Likas is out there. Plenty of coverage at news-gazette.com. Look for the preps section. All right, a rundown of some of the other sports headlines. As we mentioned, it's been kind of a whirlwind past 24 hours for Fighting Illini baseball. Scheduled to go down to Texas. Flight canceled out of Chicago due to fog, so they scrambled. Rescheduled series at St. Louis. Tomorrow against South Dakota State, so that'll be the season opener, 11 a.m. You can hear that game on DWS. On Sunday, a doubleheader taking on South Dakota State again at 11 and Austin Peay at 3. You can hear those games on FightingIllini.com. The reason for that is Illini men and women's basketball are playing on Sunday. Have you guys lost me yet? Stick with me here. You can hear the men's basketball game uninterrupted on our sister station, WHMS. The Illini women's basketball game will air right here on DWS. So basically, the easy way to remember it, women's basketball here on DWS, men's basketball, HMS, baseball on FightingIllini.com.
Good luck remembering all of that.
See, that's what makes us busy. not the fact that I have to do this, the fact that we have to juggle three, sometimes even four teams playing on one day.
That's a good problem to have, though. And it was interesting watching all the developments with the Illinois baseball team and trying to get their season going. And I know we have talked to Dan Hartlib a few times in the last month, and he's all eager as can be to get the season going. He thinks this season can maybe be kind of a turnaround for the program after the great season they had in 2015 that saw them make it to the Super Regionals and the NCAA tournament. And then the past two seasons, they haven't even made the Big Ten tournament. But weather can wreak havoc, and I think that's sometimes lost with a lot of these non-revenue sports is the travel aspect of it. They have to take a lot of flights out of airports with regular flying customers. It's not like with football and basketball where you can charter a plane and get to your destination. But they ran into some difficulty in doing that, and I'm sure there was a lot of activity on the phones yesterday afternoon and into yesterday evening to pull off getting down to St. Louis for this weekend to start the season and go from there. It'd be nice maybe if the weather would have stuck around this weekend. It was the 60s or 60s so yesterday
and now then it's 30s this
weekend. It's supposed to be freezing, I think, tonight. So welcome to Illinois weather, I guess.
All right. Other Illini action today, men's tennis losing to UCLA 4-2. Softball in a doubleheader took game one against Pitt 5-4. In action right now against North Carolina, the Illini are trailing 6-2 in the top of the seventh, so we'll be sure to let you know when that one goes final. Men's gymnastics at the Winter Cup in Las Vegas this weekend. Women's swimming and diving at the Big Ten Championships. Best of luck to both of those teams. Back to the high school scene, 3A and 4A assignments and pairings out on the boys' basketball side. In 3A, Champaign Central is the number one seed heading to the Paris Regional. They will take on the winner of Richland County and Charleston. Tolono Unity also in that regional. They will take on the winner of Effingham and Paris. Both of those games will be next week. Mahomet Seymour hosting a 3A regional. Mattoon against Rantoul in a game Monday night. Mahomet Seymour will play the winner of that game. And then on Wednesday, Mount Zion takes on Urbana. In 4A, Centennial was heading to Danville for regional play on Monday the 26th. I guess I said next week. I meant 2 weeks from now.
It's all right, Tim.
Champaign Centennial takes on Pekin, and then Danville is number one seed in that quadrant, I guess, if you want to call it that. Subsectional, thank you.
No problem.
They'll take on the winner of that Centennial and Pekin game. Moline and Normal Community also in that Danville regional.
Moline gets a drive all the way across the state.
Love it. Gotta love it. To the major leagues, pitcher Bud Norris and the St. Louis Cardinals finalizing a $3 million one-year contract this week as the team started spring training workouts. 32-year-old right-hander led the Los Angeles Angels with 19 saves and 23 chances last season. 2-6, 4.23 ERA in three starts, 57 relief appearances, striking out 74 in 62 innings. Good news and bad news today for Michigan State. Football coach Mark D'Antonio's contract extended 1 year through 2023. It's a routine extension, more or less. He has a six-year rollover deal, but it, of course, comes as Michigan State's programs are facing all of those swirling allegations about sexual assault, some tied to Larry Nassar, others in the football and men's basketball program. Outside the Lines in ESPN reporting today that a member of the Michigan State basketball team under investigation for criminal sexual conduct since the start of the fall semester, that is freshman guard Brock Washington. He's a walk-on from Southfield, Michigan. Spokesperson for the school said didn't have any information on those allegations, but said that they will look into it. Matt, what do you think about Peyton Manning as a NFL announcer? Would you listen?
I think so. He throughout his career, he had some great success off the field with his Saturday Night Live performances, his abilities as a commercial pitch man, and I think that's what kind of people have been intrigued to see ever since he stepped away after winning Super Bowl 50 is what was kind of be next for Peyton Manning, and he just seems like almost a natural to be in the booth dissecting the game that he knows so well.
New York Post is reporting that both ESPN and Fox have Manning on their shortlist to be a color commentator. Tony Romo worked out really well. I can't
Pride
find anyone who doesn't like the job he's doing.
It's because of that communications degree he got at Eastern Illinois University down in
Charleston. They only produce
Charleston.
Superstars
That's
out
true.
Of that program.
It's very true. But no, it's he did. Romo was fantastic to to listen to. And I can't remember. I don't think they've made a decision on Monday Night Football on who's going to replace John Gruden now that he's back coaching the Raiders. But Manning, to me, would be an instant candidate. He'd provide, you know, obviously name recognition and kind of that star wow factor. And I'm sure people will tune in to see what he'd be like and see if he could have some of the same success that he had on the field and how that translates in the broadcast booth.
Taking a look at some upcoming action this weekend. No Big Ten basketball tonight. Only one top 25 game to report. Number 16, Rhode Island against St. Bonaventure at the top of the hour at 6. On the PGA Tour, the Genesis Open, Tiger Woods watch. I don't know. Do we still care about Tiger Woods at this point? He is plus 2 for the tournament, plus 1 on the day through 10. The projected cut is plus 1, so he is right there. Your leader is Patrick Cantlay, an American. He is minus 7 on the tournament. Winner gets a cool $7.2 million. They're playing out in California on the Genesis Open there. Blues are at the Dallas Stars tonight, 7:30 puck drop, and it's NBA All-Star weekend, also Daytona 500 weekend. Do you watch the NBA All-Star game, Matt? Do you find it interesting?
I used to when I was a kid, but not so much anymore. It's they're probably going to score 400 points combined on Sunday night, and they're trying to switch it up with, you know, LeBron James and Stephen mm-hmm. Curry having their own teams, Team LeBron and Team Stephen. But I don't know. I always enjoy the three-point shooting contest. I think that's always interesting to watch. The dunk contest used to be obviously a huge marquee event, and that's kind of faded here in the last decade, maybe even longer.
It's almost like we've run out of dunks to do.
That is true. You've had pretty much everything from Spud Webb in the 80s at 5'9 to Michael Jordan and
right.
Dominique Wilkins, their great duel, and then Isaiah Ryder between the legs in the early 90s, D. Brown, the other D. Brown, being blindfolded with the Boston Celtics in the early 90s, and then Vince Carter's, you know, terrific display in the early 2000s, and Blake Griffin jumping over a car, and Dwight Howard, Nate Robinson, all that. And yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's run its course, but you're always trying to look up new and creative ways to dunk the ball, and it'll be entertaining on Saturday night. I'm sure a lot of people will watch.
Here's my thing about the All-Star game, and again, that's on Sunday, by the way. You mentioned the points. Just once, I want to see a team break 200. Last year, the West got 196, which is the highest in history. I think that's what we should be caring about. Like, let's not care about who's on the teams and the feuds. Like, let's just shoot for 200 points.
Yeah, that's a possibility because they play absolutely no defense.
Right. Maybe I'm alone there. I just think it would be cool to see him get 200 points.
I think it'd be cool sometime to maybe see a team actually defend for, you know, maybe the entire 24-second shot clock and see if they can get
see
a shot clock violation. But that most likely won't happen. And it's a great event. I mean, the All-Star... All-Star games, I think, across the board have lost their luster, not only in recent years, but it feels like it's been going that way for quite some time. The MLB All-Star game isn't what it once was. The Pro Bowl is almost an afterthought now,
right.
And I don't know what they're trying to do with the NHL All-Star game and what that's kind of evolved into. But, the NBA All-Star game, I think, is that one constant. It's never really tried to be something that's not like with the Major League Baseball where they decided home field advantage for all those years. And it's truly an exhibition of the game's best players, and you get to see some really cool dunks, and you get to see some guys that don't play with each other. And I know free agency's changed that quite a bit, but it's still a great entertaining night. Take it for what it's worth. You get to see a lot of cool things, and like you said, Tim, you're gonna see a lot of points.
Let's go for 200. Let's go for 400, 200 by each team. I'm putting the challenge out right now. All right, it's 5:24 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. You've got Tim Dittman, Matt Daniels. Bob Osmussen is going to join us shortly. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, hear from Lou Henson, Illini coaching legend, inducted today into the Illinois Senior Hall of Fame. If you're not familiar with that Hall of Fame, it's not a bona fide basketball Hall of Fame. We'll tell you about it when we get back. But either way, it's a cool honor for Coach. We'll have more coming up on the Friday edition of Sports Talk.
Join the News Gazette Sports page Monday night at 5 here on DWS, live at the Esquire. The guests are Champaign Central coach Jeff Pinky and his son, Tim. That comes up Monday night at 5.
That comes up Monday. Right now, though, it's 5:28 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman, Matt Daniels with you. Give us a call, 356-9397. Shoot us a text. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We heard that the Finkies are going to be the guests on Monday, and you were just talking to me during the break, Matt, that this is a big weekend for Big 12 boys basketball.
Yeah, exactly. We're lucky that we're going to have Jeff Finke, the head coach of the Maroons, and his son Tim, who last Friday night became the all-time leading scorer in Champaign-Urbana history. They're going to join us Monday evening at the Esquire on the News Gazette sports page after they get done with practice over at Combs Gym. But tonight, we mentioned earlier how there doesn't seem to be a lot going on, maybe necessarily on the Illinois front, just because basketball has been so bad this winter, but on the high school scene there's lots and lots of activities going on and lots of huge games, and in the Big 12 boys basketball scene there's a three-way tie going into tonight for first place, and two of them involve local teams in Danville and Champaign Central. They both sit at 7-1 in the league. They're tied with Normal West, who also is kind of some interest, especially for Illinois fans, in regards to their best player, Francis Okoro, a class of 2019 big man who has just really blown up this season for Normal West, who's also actually coached by Brian Couples, a former Rantoul coach. So there, we somehow tied all three teams into our coverage area. But Danville goes over to Normal West tonight to face Okoro and the Wildcats. And then the winner of that, Central obviously plays tonight as well. They play over at Peoria Manual, and Peoria Manual is not the powerhouse they once were in the 90s under Wayne McLean and Dick Van Zock, and continued that tradition under Derek Booth. They're struggling a little bit this year, but if Central can win, and the winner of Danville Normal West would then be at 8-1, and if Normal West wins and beats Danville, which Danville carries a record of 20 wins, 2 losses into tonight's game, and Kendall Moore, two Illinois football players actually on the team, two future Illinois football players, and Julian Pearl, a future offensive lineman who's a post presence for the Vikings, and then Caleb Griffin, a kicker who's also a very versatile, skilled player on the court for Danville. But if Normal West wins tonight and Central wins tonight, essentially the Big 12 title is going to be decided on Tuesday night at Combs Gym here in Central, because Normal West comes to town to face the Maroons. So a lot going on there, a lot still to be decided, and that's it adds to kind of the intrigue too. The final week of the regular season sometimes can kind of be a little dull and lack a little buzz, but that certainly adds to it. And then once that ends next Friday night as the final night for the regular season for the big schools, then they jump right into the postseason and trying to reach Carver Arena in Peoria.
What's going to be the bigger draw on Tuesday night, Combs Gym or State Farm Center?
Good question. Well, Illinois plays at Michigan State
on
Tuesday night. No, that's fine, Tim. You're a busy man. I can't imagine all the hats you have to juggle every day here at News Gazette Media World headquarters. But Combs Gym, I think, should be an electric atmosphere on Tuesday night. Not only for the fact that you could have the potential Big 12 winner decided on that court, but you get if you're a huge basketball fan in Champaign-Urbana, you get a chance to see one of Brad Underwood's top recruiting targets in 2019 and Francis Okoro, who is a legitimate threat every night to go out and post a triple-double, and that's in points, rebounds, block shots. He's done that a few times this season, and it's a good opportunity to see him up close in person, and his recruiting's really kind of taken off here in the last 12 months or so, and it's only going to continue to grow throughout the rest of his high school season, and then I'm sure once the AAU circuit gets going this spring.
All right, so we'll be keeping an eye on all of that, and again, plenty of coverage at news-gazette.com. All right, as we mentioned, Lou Henson in town today, stopped by the Rebounders Luncheon and also stopped by the Hilton in Champaign to be inducted into the Illinois Senior Hall of Fame. This is a non-basketball Hall of Fame. It's basically established by the state legislature in 1994, honors Illinois residents 65 and older who have made the state better in one of four categories. One of them is the education category that Henson was inducted into for his mentorship of young men through the basketball program and other things. One of three inductees this year, in total 104 people in that Senior Hall of Fame, overseen by the Illinois Department of Aging. Our Michael Kaiser was at the Hilton today and had a chance to catch up with the coach.
Well, Luke, what does this mean to you? You've made another Hall of Fame, but this is a Hall of Fame that really is statewide recognition for you and all your efforts for this community. What does today mean to you?
Well, it's great to get this honor, and it means so much to have the people that I've known through the years. Most of these people I know personally, and to come from them, it means a lot.
Is this something that was even on your radar, to even knew that was an award? Or
I didn't know until maybe a few days ago.
What, just to be recognized by the state, not to be recognized by basketball associations, but to be recognized by the state of Illinois, just kind of what goes through your mind there when you got representatives and senators from General Assembly?
Well, Nashville, I'm really honored, and I'm so pleased to have this recognition tonight.
Well, I want to ask you about Brad Underwood and the team this season, and just you got off to a slow start when you were here as well. What have you been seeing from the squad this year, and some of the difficulties they've had?
Okay, now I think that they've had difficulties in different areas of the game, and I think we just didn't have enough time to get them going, defensively they're very strong. Offensively, we have some players playing and some are not. So it's just kind of an unfortunate season for us, but he couldn't do anything about it.
Shooting is so important in basketball, obviously, and shooting has been a problem this year. What is that one of the main things you have to win?
First of all, I told my assistants, when you go out to recruit, don't come back and tell me you can't shoot. You got to have shooters to win, and we have maybe one or two, and some shoot the ball well at times, and others don't. So we need better shooting.
How difficult is it to take over a program, change the culture? You know, in the first season especially.
I took over three of them, so I know exactly what is going through. I went to Hardin-Simmons when they were major, and they hadn't won anything in years. And New Mexico State, they were 4-22. And of course, Illinois was better than that. But still, in the Big Ten, it was tough to get it going.
One last thing for you, Coach. Just how are you feeling these days, and how are things going?
You know, I'm feeling better. And if you'll do more talking Saturday morning and push Lauren to the side, I'd feel a lot better.
I don't think Lauren will let me talk more. I'm going to let him talk more.
Okay, Lauren. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
Illini coach Lou Henson today in Champaign being inducted into the Illinois Senior Hall of Fame. Again, this is a Hall of Fame that is under the auspices of the state of Illinois, not like the NCAA or anything like that. And not to diminish it by any means, but just to make the distinction that it's a non-sports Hall of Fame. It's for anyone 65 and older who has made a big impact in the state of Illinois. Again, one of three inductees this year, 104 total in the hall since it was established in 1994. Two others with ties to our area, Dyke Edelman, that makes sense,
yes.
Another Illinois athletics legend, and Julius Hegler out of Danville, a philanthropist over there. So, you know, obviously, you know, Lou is in old age, he's got his health problems, mm-hmm. he's frail, but he is a fighter, and he is not shying away. I mean, I remember when I talked to him, gosh, 2-3 years ago, when all of his health issues were starting to crop up again, mm-hmm. and he told me at the time, I don't know if I'll ever be able to go back out in public again.
Mm-hmm.
And look at him now. He's, in, I think, 83 years old, and he's out making stops today in Champaign.
Yeah, he's just a great example of perseverance and overcoming all the obstacles that he's faced on the health front here in the last decades or few decades or so, and it's just a testament to his spirit, his vitality. And you're not going to meet an Illinois coach, athlete, representative of the entire Illinois athletic program that you know, kind of evokes some of these feelings that people get just by being around Coach Henson, even for a short amount of time. He's a great storyteller. Really helped revitalize the program, basketball program, on the court during his tenure here, and then with his work with the Orange Crush and starting that. And,
right.
You know, anytime you get to see Coach Henson around town, it should just make your day better.
Doesn't treat anyone like a stranger.
Exactly.
I won't talk to him for a year, and then I'll call, oh, hey, Tim, how
yeah.
you doing?
Mm-hmm. So. No, it's great.
Cool.
He's got great recall of everyone, and like you said, he's never met a stranger.
I would also recommend his autobiography if you haven't read it. And I think on a sports talk maybe last year, you and I looked at some excerpts.
I remember that, yeah.
Real cool behind-the-scenes look at the Flying Illini And it seems like Lauren Tate and Jim Turpin are mentioned at least once a chapter. It's just wherever Lou went, they went.
Yeah, so. Lauren, when he still comes in the office, a few times a week, more right. So now with the radio station here at the News Gazette. But he's usually always saying, "Oh, I'm gonna go stop by and see Lou, or I'm gonna go have lunch with Lou." And those two have had a great relationship for many years, and it's always a it's always fun to watch those two banter back and forth.
Very cool. Congrats to Lou Henson, Illinois Senior Hall of Fame inductee. 5:38 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman, Matt Daniels with you. Again, kind of an open forum the rest of the way. If you want to call, talk to us about Illinois basketball, the Olympics, high school, anything you want, 356-9397 is the phone number. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Commentary now from Jason Gotch with the Illinois Radio Network on the Cubs picking up Yu Darvish.
I'm Jason Gotch with the Gotch Files. After months of speculation about whether the Cubs would make a big splash in free agency, that question is finally answered. The Northsiders inked top of the rotation starter Yu Darvish to a 6-year, $126 million deal. But is this a great move? The signing makes the Cubs better, but it also means the end of Jake Arrieta with the Northsiders, and I would have preferred the Cubs keep Arrieta over signing Darvish. They're both 31 years old, but Arrieta had a great run in Chicago, and when it mattered most, he was lights out, winning two road games in the 2016 World Series. Some of the analytics favor Darvish, but while Arrieta's velocity may not be equal to Darvish's offering, what's to say he won't adjust and become more of a pitcher than a thrower? Plus, Darvish has an arm issues and Tommy John surgery, while Arrieta has no history of arm problems. Last season, Darvish wasn't great in the regular season, as he had a combined 3.86 ERA for the Astros and Dodgers. And in the biggest start of his life, Darvish was tipping pitches and he got shelled in the Dodgers' Game 7 World Series home loss to the Astros that gave Houston the title. Darvish makes the Cubs better, but Jake Arrieta was the best option. With another installment of the Gotch Files, I'm Jason Gotch.
Join us for Fighting Illini men's basketball against Nebraska at 2:30 on Sunday. Michael Kaiser has Illini game day at 1 o'clock Sunday, starting at State Farm Center at DWS.
And Sunday, a busy day for Illinois athletics, baseball, men's and women's basketball in action. Later in the program, we'll recap for you our broadcast schedule. For now, though, it's 5:43 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman in for Scott Beatty, who is on the road with Illini baseball. Matt Daniels is alongside. Illini softball, by the way, has gone final. They fall in Game 2 of the doubleheader to North Carolina, 6-2. 356-9397 is how you can reach us on the phones. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We go to the phones now, and that's where we find our friend Carl in Champaign. Carl, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, there actually is something on my mind. I happened to be thinking today for once.
It's good, Carl.
And I seem to notice with the three coaching hires that Lovey Smith has made, it seems to be his objective to go for high-energy guys here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Rod Smith
and
stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
No, yeah, I think you're hitting you're bringing up a good point there, Carl. And, Rod Smith, we had him on at the Esquire Monday night, and he was there for over an hour, before the show talking to people, and then after the show greeting people that stopped by the Esquire as well. And he could have stayed there all night, I think. And then we actually had Corey Patterson on at Scotty's Brewhouse last night on Sports Talk with Michael Kaiser and myself. And he doesn't come across, kind of that high energy. He's kind of more cool, calm, collected, kind of laid back. But he's a guy that was really brought in for his recruiting ties and his background to the St. Louis area, where he was, helped turn a kind of a doormat football program into a state powerhouse at Trinity Catholic. And then, Austin Clark is maybe an up and comer in the coaching profession, probably one of the youngest assistants at a Power 5 school. I know our Bob Osmussen is researching that diligently right now and trying to find out kind of the average age of coaching staffs in the Big Ten. But Lovey Smith, I think, is kind of seeing that he needs to bring in some guys that are high energy and can really help recruit and sell the program, because it's not an easy sell right now.
Anything else, Carl?
Well, do you have any idea, is there any rumor about who the fourth coach is going to be, fourth hire?
Well, we thought at one point it might be Nathan Shielhouse. He's obviously gone. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, don't know for sure. I know they start spring ball on March 6th is their first practice. I think March 5th they kind of get together for some meetings. But I know Lovey kind of keeps it close to the vest and hasn't really, you know, spoken, you know, a lot about it. I know Bob Osmussen, our beat writer, has asked him point blank, you know, what his plans are for that spot and who he might consider at all, and Lovey's kind of deflected the question. So we'll find out here in a few weeks, but it'll be interesting to see what position group that coach might be, what emphasis it might have on the program, and how that tries to help the program moving forward.
Carl, thanks for checking in with us. Always good to hear from you.
Have a good weekend, Carl.
Okay, thank you.
Carl in Champaign. Again, the phone line, 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357-547 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Tim and Matt with you. Matt, if I were to say the words dean of high school basketball coaches in the state of Illinois, who would come to mind?
Gene Pingator.
You were set up for that question, but you got it right.
I remembered our pre-production meeting,
that's
Tim,
right.
And that served me well.
49th year at St. Joseph High School in Westchester, has more than 1,000 wins, winning as coach in Illinois high school basketball history. He's the subject this week of the Illinois Radio Network Prep Report.
St. Joseph High School, located in the Chicago suburb of Westchester, is a basketball powerhouse under longtime head coach Gene Pingator, who's in his 49th season at the helm. The 81-year-old Pingator has over 1,000 career victories, making him the winningest boys basketball in state history. But Pingator says coaching for him is about a lot more than wins and losses.
It's not the wins, it's just all the people that contributed to the wins that bring back many, many memories. It's not about me, it's about that whole group together, all the former players, the former coaches, assistants I've had, and even the fans over the years have made this just a fantastic thing. But it's just not me, it's all these people, and for that I thank them, actually.
Pingator is only the 15th boys high school basketball coach in U.S. history to get to 1,000 career coaching wins. He has also coached two state championship winning teams at St. Joe's and knows discipline is key to success.
Making sure how they care about themselves. You're talking about image. You're talking about all the things put together, you know, make a team successful. If you can get kids to do the little things, pick up their tape, pick up their candy wrappers, be on time, play as a team. When you get them to do all those kind of things, the wins will come.
Pingator has had a long friendship with iconic college basketball coach Bobby Knight that continues to this day. Several of Pingator's players went on to play for Knight over the years, including Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. And Knight said last year there's no better mind in the game of basketball that he knows than Gene Pingator. The admiration is mutual, as Coach Pingator explains.
Shoot, I respect him. I think he's the best. He did more with less talent than anyone, and he did it the right way. That's the big thing. Of course, I've known him since he recruited one of our players out of St. Joseph in 1966. Of course, all those years I knew Knight, he was always a good friend. He would bend over backwards as a friend, and he's still that way. He's just a good friend, and I think our success is attributed to what he's done. I sort of copied a lot of stuff that he did, and again, I said if he was still coaching, I would probably send another kid to him. Our kids have always been successful with them. They won 3 NCAA championships, the 3 kids that we sent to him.
Illinois Radio Network Prep Report, Jason Gotch there with Gene Pingator, legendary high school basketball coach in Illinois. We were talking during the break, Matt, if we had to assemble a Mount Rushmore of Illinois high school basketball coaches, it would be tough.
Oh, yeah, there's a handful, a plethora, lots of great options through the decade. It's kind of what's made the game so great at the high school ranks, you know, throughout the state. You know, Dick Van Sock and what he was able to do at Peoria Emanuel. You think of, obviously, what Gene Pingator is still doing at St. Joe's up in Westchester. I remember watching him in Hoop Dreams and kind of finding out more about that, and then everything he's done since then as well is pretty impressive. Coach of, you know, former Illini, Dimitri McKamey in high school, Evan Turner, lots of other talented players that have gone on to play college and professional basketball. I mean, you look, you know, farther south, Virgil Fletcher at Collinsville, what he was able to accomplish. Arthur Trout in Centralia is a, you know, historic name, known throughout the game's ranks. And you could go on and on in every pocket of the state.
Right.
They've got coaches that are just, you know, lifelong coaches and mean so much to the respective schools and their communities. And that's what makes you know, high school basketball so great in the state at times.
Yeah, William McClain, not a head coach for long,
but
in
he had
Peoria,
great success.
But he had great success.
Great success at Manuel. Kept up that tradition of winning, you know, four state titles, and then had you know, great success here at Illinois as an assistant coach. And I was fortunate enough to cover his first his home opener at Combs Gym in his only season at Champaign Central before he passed away too quickly. And that was a great game, triple overtime game between Central and Centennial. And it was an electric atmosphere inside Combs Gym. And he was gracious to talk to afterwards to a writer that was in a hurry because of tight deadline.
Deadline,
and,
exactly.
Yeah, it was a good experience just getting the chance to interact with him the few times I did. And yeah, our area is filtered too with, you know, great coaches at many schools. And that's what, that's why I think a lot of our teams have legitimate shots, you know, this rest of this month and into March to make a run to Peoria next month.
Yeah, I'm from the Bloomington area, so Rodney Keller at Ridgeview sticks out to me. 29th year,
been there a while.
Yeah,
a lot of wins.
Took the team to state in 2015, third place. 535 wins coming into this season for Rodney Keller. So, all right, 5:52 on the Friday edition of Sports Talk. We'll take a timeout. Come back with some final words after this.
This is Brian Barnhart. Join me on Monday for A Penny for Your Thoughts, our Monday Morning Quarterback Show. With more.
Just a few minutes left in the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Tim Dittman in the chair tonight for Scott Beatty on the road with Illinois baseball. Matt Daniels is alongside. Blake Landa is our producer-engineer behind the scenes. He'll have the show up as a podcast later at WDWS.com. Still time for you to sneak in. 356-9397 is the phone number. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Recapping some of the headlines of the day, Illini softball splitting a doubleheader today, beating Pitt 5-4 and then falling to North Carolina in Game 2. Illini men's tennis losing today to UCLA 4-2. A rescheduled series for Fighting Illini baseball coming up. They were scheduled to go to Texas. Canceled flight due to fog in Chicago, so they are now on a bus to St. Louis. Tomorrow against South Dakota State, that's the season opener at 11 a.m. You can hear the game right here on News Talk 1400. Doubleheader on Sunday, South Dakota State at 11 a.m., Austin Peay at 3 p.m. You can hear both of those games on FightingIllini.com with, again, Scott Beatty on the call. As far as here over the air on the AM side, News Talk 1400, you can hear Illini women's basketball uninterrupted. Basically, we're going to start our men's coverage, go to the women, and then go back to Illini men's basketball. But the easy way to remember it is if you want to hear women's basketball Sunday, tune it here to News Talk 1400. If you want to hear the men's game uninterrupted, go to our sister station, Light Rock 97.5. Matt, obviously state wrestling and Illini basketball coming up. A busy time of year for you, and
yeah,
a lot of good stuff in the paper this
week. Lauren Tate will have his weekly column, and in Sunday's News Gazette, he kind of takes a look at some of the spring sports, which you know, aren't the two main sports with football and men's basketball, but it looks to be another promising spring season for the Illini, so he'll have a look at that in Sunday's News Gazette. Scott Ritchie, Illinois basketball beat writer, will preview the upcoming tilt with Nebraska, 2:30 p.m. tip at State Farm Center on Sunday, which kind of starts the busy stretch here for the end of the regular season for Brad Underwood's program with four games in 7 days, starting on Sunday at Nebraska here at home, then Tuesday night at Michigan State, then next Thursday night at home against Purdue, and then next Sunday out in Piscataway at Rutgers. And we'll see what you know, Illinois can do in the final four games of the Big Ten. Right now they're squarely in last place and destined to play on the first day of the Big Ten tournament, and barring some miraculous upsets this week, looks like they're going to be playing. They may not play basketball in March, Tim.
Yeah, it's first game of the Big Ten tournament February 28th. The men's and women's seasons, unfortunately, might come to an end that day. By the way, Tiger Woods is now plus +4 on the day in the Genesis Open. He's plus +5 for the tournament through 13 holes, and it's looking like he is probably not going to make the cut. The projected cut is plus +1. Matt, thanks for stopping by, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
No problem, Tim. Get some rest.
Yeah, I'll try my best. Matt Daniels with the News Gazette. That's going to do it for the Friday edition of Sports Talk. Thanks to Blake Landa behind the scenes. Thanks to Matt for being in the co-host chair tonight. Thanks to Michael Kaiser for catching up with Lou Henson. And, of course, thanks to Lou for giving us his time. A very busy man in old age. And, again, we certainly wish him the best with his health issues. And a congratulations to him being inducted today into the Illinois Senior Hall of Fame. Michael Kaiser is back with you tomorrow morning with Lauren Tate for Saturday Sports Talk at 9 a.m. Among their guests, Will Leach, Mattoon native, founder of Deadspin.com, and he's got a bunch of new projects going on with Sports Illustrated and MLB, and plenty of recruiting talk as well, Illini baseball talk, and Illini basketball talk as well, as again, Illinois in action on Sunday. Once again, thanks for tuning in. I am Tim Dittman. Appreciate Scott Beatty letting me fill in tonight. Scott on the road with Illinois baseball. You can hear them tomorrow at 11 a.m. against South Dakota State. WDWS Champaign-Urbana, 33 degrees at 5:59. Have a wonderful weekend.